So, Mike got possessed. It's a new experience for me, honestly. Also, I think that we're going to have to deal with Skinny soon. He destroyed a van the other day that was carrying supplies out to us, and I'll get to that later on, though. I actually learned a lot from the spirit that possessed Mark before it left. Oh, yes, it left. I didn't have to banish it or anything. Let me just tell you this story before I end up spoiling something. The day after the tall man incident, referring to part 6, for more information on that, Mark started acting funny. But like, in a good way, in my opinion. He was much less commanding and hostile, like he had no energy. This meant that he didn't want to keep checking around the property for monsters constantly, and I was able to do what I wanted again without him complaining. Once I noticed the change in his behavior, I thought of two reasons that could be causing Mark to act this way. One, he was sick. Two, he was being a little scaredy prick after almost being killed by the tall man. Turns out, I was wrong on both accounts. See, after 2 days of Mark being reserved and borderline unresponsive on my couch, I knew something was up. As much as I don't want to admit it, Mark is a badass in his own right. He isn't the kind of person to crumble after a traumatic event. He's a fighter. I was aware of his unnaturally aggressive fight-over-flight response when he first encountered Skinny and almost rushed out to certain death just to show Skinny that he wasn't here to play games. And on top of that, he didn't show any real signs of sickness. He was tired and slow to respond, yeah, but he wasn't sensitive to light like a concussion. He wasn't hot or cold, no runny nose, no terrible breathing, etc. It was on the third day of this strange behavior, yesterday, when I confronted him and got an answer. So, Mark, any idea why you're so tired and lazy and shit? And just as I finished asking this, Mark shot up in a sitting position on the couch and whipped his head around to face me. In a voice much higher than his regular voice, he exclaimed,
"I thought you would never ask. I finally finished taking over this body a few days ago and was waiting for the right moment to reveal myself. You see, Mark is on vacation right now, and I'm taking his place."
Oh. Nice. When will he be back? His wide smile quickly found itself upside down.
"You know what, Cole? This is why I really hate you. You are literally no fun whatsoever."
"Well, I mean, if you aren't Mark, I don't know you. And how would you know that I'm no fun? Don't you know it's wrong to judge a book by its cover?" Mark's... No. The replacement Mark's voice was starting to sound irritated.
"I'm a ghost, dipshit. I've been here for months trying to fuck with you. I even tried to possess you. But unfortunately for me, you are incompatible, and no matter how hard I try to get your attention or scare you, I was always met with you just brushing it off. I worked really, really hard, too. Like that time I moved the TV while you were watching. Or the time I put holes in all your socks to make your big toe pop out."
Oh, I was finally starting to catch on to what was happening at this point. Oh, I thought the TV was just, Holy shit, you're the one who put holes in my socks?! You piece of cock meat! You made me think I had sandpaper toes! He chuckled a bit.
"At least that one worked. Anyway, as you probably already know, being a ghost has its limits. It's extremely difficult to have any effect on the physical world, and we can't affect living tissue in any kind of direct way whatsoever. So now that I have a vessel, I can finally kill you."
Oh, well shit, that escalated quickly. As I processed the new information I had just received, Fake Mark speaks up again.
"One thing I bet you didn't know is that as a ghost, when I take over a body, I can't see all the host's memories. But the body still retains any natural reflexes and skills that the host has acquired through his or her lifetime. And this guy has some seriously badass skills."
Fake Mark then sprang to his feet and did a roundhouse kick that shattered a nearby lamp into a million pieces, then turned to my wall, punched as hard as he could. Pretty sure he expected to punch right through, but only ended up, like, leaving some bloody knuckle prints. There's a stud there, I said as Fake Mark doubled over, holding his damaged hand.
"I now realize that, thank you," he wheezed out before standing back up straight again. "Even so, this guy is plenty skilled enough to end your sorry ass," Fake Mark shouted with a wicked grin.
You must have been out the first night he got here, but okay. He cocked his head a little after this comment, then quickly brushed it off and lunged at me. Now I'll try to explain what happened next as best as I can. As he rushed me, he threw a right-handed jab at my head. I countered this by hooking my arm over the inside of his shoulder with my left arm as I ducked the punch, and put my right between his legs so that I could lift him off the ground, and then did a fireman throw, which basically means that I tossed him into the air and subsequently slammed him back onto the ground by exploding back up into a standing position and releasing my hold on his legs while still keeping a strong grip on his shoulder. This made Fake Mark fly over my head and still slam into the ground at my feet. I wanted to explain how this happened so people don't just accuse me of bullshitting, and for the record, I don't think this would have worked on real Mark. I'm pretty sure that he would have seen it coming. Anyway. This should have knocked the breath out of him, so I wasn't ready when he punched the back of my knee and dead-legged me so perfectly I went straight to my ass. Middle school me would have taken notes on perfect execution of this move. Fake Mark ended up getting back up to his feet before me, unfortunately jumped onto me and pulled me flat on my back. Fake Mark then reeled his fist back for a final blow, and as his fist flew towards my face, I managed to move my head to the side at the last second, and his fist connected with the hardwood floor at a respectable speed. He may have been able to recover from this quickly if it hadn't been the same hand he'd already smashed into the wall a few moments before. As Fake Mark winced at the pain, I threw my leg into the air and proceeded to connect with his no-no square. It was more effective than the slam from earlier, that's for sure. I stood up slowly while Mark tried to decide if he should use his remaining good hand to grab his crotch or his shattered knuckles. Before he could decide, I grabbed his Glock that was sitting on the coffee table and took aim. It didn't take Fake Mark long to look up and realize that I now had complete control over the situation. He stood up, but he didn't make any further advances at me. He instead opted to put on a pouty face and plop down into the recliner in defeat. Then it hit me. Hey, why are you afraid of dying? This isn't even your body. You can't die again. Can you? Fake Mark snapped back into a still somewhat aggressive tone.
If this body dies while I'm in it, I get sent back. I don't think I'll be able to escape again if that happens.
Why are people always so vague when I ask any questions? Escape from where? That's an important detail. I fully expected Fake Mark to snap back again, but all he did was look at me in the eyes and mumble, "Hell." The absolute terror on his face seemed genuine. Usually I try to stay respectful and patient with someone in an emotional state like that. Unfortunately for Fake Mark, he wasn't a person, he was a ghost that was possessing my, acquaintance? And I didn't really appreciate that very much, so I continued with my questioning. How did you escape the hell for the first time? Fake Mark was surprisingly cooperative now.
I found a gateway and walked through it, ended up in this land. I think there is some sort of portal to hell around here. It seems that most ancient creatures that come through instead of regular spirits, only thing I can figure is that they were banished to hell, only to be let back out into this location.
Oh. Damn, I was expecting like a badass story about a battle with the devil, not an actual plausible cause for all the crazy shit that's going on. Alright,
well, you seem to know your shit!
Why do I get the idea that you know more about hell and monsters than the average lost soul?
I was a preacher in life.
What? Then why were you in hell?
Because I studied the occult in my spare time and skimmed out of the donation bowl.
Oh, that makes sense.
Guess God is cheeky like that. But what makes you think that all the weirdos in those woods come from a portal to hell?
Fake Mark then started speaking in a more relaxed and confident manner.
Not all beasts out there come from the portal. Actually, most of them don't. Just some of the particularly nasty ones. You met one the other day. I think you called him the Tall Man. He is a recent immigrant. I think he got banished in the 70s by some monster hunting group. He was one of the more average ones, but you already know the most powerful one, don't you?
At this, Fake Mark started grinning. He was right. I knew exactly who he was talking about.
It's that Chuck Hulu guy! They're the Chosen Worship, isn't it?
Fake Mark's grin transformed into a grimace.
Holy hell, Cole, I seriously fucking despise you. It's that thing you call Skinny. Cthulhu is a cosmic entity from another plane of existence, separated from hell. Skinny, on the other hand, is absolutely a product of hell.
Oh. So he's a demon, then?
No, not a demon, but an amalgamation of at least a few other creatures that I'm pretty sure old Lucifer created himself. If I had to guess, Lucy's planning to take over the mortal plane and is throwing some creatures out here to test waters before his final assault.
Shit. Well, that isn't good. I might be on his bad side since I keep mooning Skinny. Also, did you know what Skinny is?
No. But I do know that he doesn't seem to be able to enter a home without being invited in. And when he takes the appearance of something Whether it be a sumo wrestler or a baby rabbit, he maintains the same weight and strength as his regular form.
Huh. And do you know how he stays the same weight?
Because I once saw him spying on a squirrel, only to snap the giant branch that he was perched on under his weight, then proceed to shred the trunk of the tree with his tiny squirrel claws until it fell out of frustration.
I remember that tree. I thought it had been attacked by a family of six-legged beavers. The ones that lived down by the creek, but I guess that was wrong. All right, it's beginning to seem like Fake Mark was a serious asset when it came down to knowing about the stuff around here. Also, I'm curious about what different monsters make up Skinny. If any of you have any ideas, feel free to comment, because I'm pretty clueless as of right now. The invitation thing is from vampires, though, isn't it? I don't know if that sounds too cliche to be true. Anyway, anything else you want to get off your chest, Preacher Man? Guess I hit a nerve with that question.
Fuck you! I am a woman! I am tired of you being so damn clueless!
What? I didn't know that women preachers were a thing! Again, poor choice of words, Cole.
That's it, I'm leaving!
They're practically screaming at each other at this point, which is, in hindsight, is really unnecessary.
Okay, but to be fair, you don't look or sound like a girl in Mark's body, and all I ask is that you answer one more question. Fine!
I had to be wondering about this since the beginning of the conversation, so I was ecstatic to get one more chance at it.
You said I was incompatible for you to possess me. Why is that?
At this, Fake Mark took on a serious expression.
It means you are either a descendant of some saint, or some godly power favors you. Or maybe. No, that couldn't be.
And with that, Fake Mark seemed to pass out. Guess it was the spirit leaving his body. Soon after, Real Mark started to wake up and ask where he was. I told him that it was a long story, but he should probably get some fresh air before I told him. When he grabbed my outstretched hand so that I could help him up, I squeezed. While he yelled in pain, I calmly told him, "You owe me a new lamp." And that's all for Mark's possession. See, he actually took the news pretty well. I think he's been possessed before or something. I kept the part about me being incompatible to myself, not really sure why. It just didn't seem like something that I should share at the time. Things are heating up around here. Something big's gonna happen soon, and when the information that we got of the spirit preacher lady... starting to look like me and Mark can't do this on our own. I think he called in backup, but he won't actually tell me for sure. He just keeps looking out the window a lot. I'll update again soon. It's Cole. Signing off.